Stephen in front of you. That'd be really helpful. Bert has prayed and asked that the Lord would speak through his word this morning. But let's just pray one more time. Prepare our hearts, ready for the Lord to speak to us. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that as we sit here this morning, we can consider your words, the words that you have given us, the wisdom that you have laid out before us in your word. And we do pray that by your spirit, you would help us to be wise this morning, to follow your path, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder, what was the most memorable bit of advice that your parents ever gave you? What's the most memorable bit of advice that your parents ever gave you? Well, I remember a few years ago, we were on a family holiday. Let me just get there. It's not working. Oh, there we go. We were on family holiday, there were some rocks out in the sea, my dad here, brother and I, thought it'd be fun to jump in. And as I was standing there considering whether it was wise, my dad gave me the advice, don't think, just do it. Well, for years to come, we jokingly said that that pretty much summed up his advice at most times for me. But I am also glad to say that he did give me some very wise advice over the years as well. But children, I wonder, what's the thing your parents say to you most often? The advice that they constantly repeat. Well, we're doing a short summer series in the book of Proverbs, and the first seven chapters of Proverbs are addressed to my son, it says. And as we said last time, it's like a dad who draws near to his son, puts his arm around him and says, son, I love you. I love you and I want you to be wise in life. I want you to be blessed. And so I've got some things I want to say to you. And so it's wonderful because as we listen to this conversation, we get to listen in on the advice of a perfect father. And it's given to us in Scripture so that anyone who wants to can learn from its wisdom. Remember last time we said this is for the young. And younger guys here today, you have got a world out there that is moving further and further away from the Word of God, from biblical ways. And it is particularly important that you guys listen to this advice found in Proverbs. Because you've got some tough days ahead of you. But we also found out that it's also written for the mature and those who have wisdom, because those who are wise truly know that they've got so much more to learn. And we never stop learning. So when we read, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching, they are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. This is wisdom for us all. For every single one of us. Last time we looked at the big picture of wisdom in Proverbs, and we saw that it is underpinned by the biblical story of creation, fall, and redemption. And that ultimately the Proverbs point us to our desperate need for Jesus, the one in whom we find the fulfillment of wisdom, because he is wisdom. The one who revealed wisdom in its most beautiful and deepest form when he died for us on the cross. The one through whom we find relationship with God so that the wisdom of Proverbs becomes clear to us and possible for us to live out through him. And the one who gives us the ultimate blessing of that wisdom as he shares it with us. And he shares his eternal inheritance with us. So it's my hope and prayer that as we read the wisdom of Proverbs today in the light of the grace offered us in Christ, that we will be able to say, like Solomon, as he expresses at the beginning of our passage, the light of the eyes rejoice the heart. The good news refreshes the bones. Can I just have some water? Dry mouth. Last week we were on holiday in the lakes as a family, and one day we decided to go up the mountain called Skiddaw, third highest mountain in England. And so I took my three eldest up there, But about a third of the way up the mountain, so kind of about an eighth of the way up the mountain, we were in clouds, so it was cloudy all the way up. But about two-thirds of the way up, we got to this point where there were two paths. One path that went around the sort of western face of the mountain was a smooth ride up to the top and also was a bit more sheltered from the elements. And the other way, to the left, which was on the eastern face, much steeper, a lot more ups and downs, and totally open to the elements. Lily, in her wisdom, suggested we went to the right, around the western face. The boys and I, we said, no, come on, we're going to go this way. And needless to say, it was pretty windy and wet, much steeper, and yeah, as I said, it was a much harder route. And on the way back, we decided we'd go the other way. Well, in Proverbs, we see a pretty similar pattern, because we see through the book that we have the option of two paths in life. But the choice of which path in life we take has a far more significant consequence than our walk on the mountain last week. Because the wisdom offered to the son by this perfectly wise and loving father is presented in the form of two paths, which have eternal consequences. As we read through, we continually see this refrain: choose this path, not this path. Why? Well, we get the answer throughout, but it's summed up in chapter 28 and verse 10. Whoever leads the upright along an evil path will fall into their own trap, but the blameless will receive a good inheritance. There are only two ways to live, the father says. Only two paths, my son. One takes away life. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths. Such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it. And the other saves your life. Chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men. So this is not just a chilled out chat between a father and a son with a few little sort of snippets of helpful life advice, take it or leave it kind of stuff. This is deadly serious. He continually emphasizes the huge consequences of the choices his son has to make as he chooses his path. As you do life, as you face decisions about who to spend time with, son, what to do or to say, how to act, who and what to commit your life to, remember these things, he pleads. And in his fatherly voice, God speaks to each one of us with that same plea through these proverbs. Listen to me, he says. Because the way you live your life matters. God knows our hearts. He knows that we are prone to wander. He knows that we're prone to pride. He knows that we are prone to think we know best. And that's a problem. Because a proud heart is in opposition to a wise heart. It is the opposite. Humility is the only prerequisite of being a Christian. It's an admission that actually we bring nothing in regards to obtaining the best life. It all comes from God. The humbling process, it begins at the moment when we first realize that Christ is our only hope, that none of us are truly wise, as we saw last week, and that there's a price to pay for our foolishness. A price that Christ paid for us. And so we begin the Christian life in humility, leaning on Jesus. But it's also the way that we continue the Christian life. Proverbs wants to remind us over and over of our continued need for that same humility in our attitudes every single day, in everything that we do. Because as Christians, walking through this world, we are constantly exposed to attack from an enemy trying to entice us off the path of life and wisdom that leads to eternal blessing. And Proverbs wants us to know the danger is real. the foolish and provocative woman in Proverbs who tempts so many down the path of foolishness is ultimately a personification of the devil. We need to know that he is real. Not so that we fear him, but so that we fear the one who has power over him. And that we stay on the safety of his path. We stay on the path of wisdom through the fear of the Lord. Remember we learned that last week? And that's how we stay on it. And that means continuing to listen to his wisdom daily. I'd love to do a hands up to see how many started my challenge of reading a proverb every day. But hopefully you read Proverbs 8 today. Now, it would be quite easy to read Proverbs and think, I need to try harder. I just need to do better. I need to live up to these standards and then I will be safe. But as we saw last week, the Proverbs come alive only when we are living in relationship with Jesus. And we remember it's only by his grace, because of his redemption and through his strength, that we can do what they say. And so now in the light of these things, we're now going to consider the practicalities of the book of Proverbs. What does it look like in the day-to-day life in this fallen world to live our best life with Christ? What does it look like practically to walk in the path of wisdom? Well, verse 33 at the end of chapter 15 gives us a good reminder and a helpful action point which acts as a summary for us. The reminder, the fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom. And the action point, humility comes before honor. You see, choosing the path of wisdom begins with humility towards God. Sorry, I didn't check this PowerPoint had come through correctly before, but hopefully you get the point. Choosing the path of wisdom begins with humility. The test of whether we really do fear God or not is not whether we can recite verses or spout off doctrine, but whether we are truly humble in our attitude towards him. The fear of the Lord should breed a deep humility in us. And it's a humility that we must take into every situation and every area of our life. And the verses that precede this, verses 31 and 32, show us why. The ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. Whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. When we humbly listen to and accept God's reproof, his teaching and correction, it is life-giving. Life-giving because, as we saw last week, the ultimate wisdom of God is the wisdom of the gospel found in his word. As we humbly listen to his word and obey it, we find a wisdom that literally takes us from death to life. And it's also life-giving because once we've accepted it, it keeps us on the path of life. Conversely, verse 32, it profoundly tells us that when we despise God and his wisdom in our daily life, we actually end up despising ourselves. Because we're refusing the greatest help and gift that we could ever imagine and choosing a path that leads to death. A pastor summed it up recently when he spoke of the hundreds of people that he has had to counsel who had messed up their lives because they hadn't followed the path of God, of his wisdom. But he'd never once had to counsel somebody who had messed up their life because they'd stayed on the path of God's wisdom. Now, of course, other people will still cause us harm. Their acts outside of God's wisdom will hurt us and cause pain. But when we continue to live God's ways, even in the face of that, we can be sure of his blessing. So how can we be sure we are humbly listening to God's teaching in real life? How can we be sure of this? How can we see it? Well, often the test comes when there's a moment that challenges our trust that God's word is true and good. Or maybe when, even though we know it's true and good, We want something else. And Proverbs gives us an example that is as relevant today as ever. In Proverbs, foolishness is frequently personified as an adulterous woman luring a young man to the kind of physical relationship that God says not to have outside of marriage. The kind of temptation, this kind of temptation is something that lures many young and not so young people away from living for God. When the opportunity to be physically intimate outside of marriage comes, the temptation of fleeting pleasure is strong. And Proverbs says the same thing as the rest of the Bible says in this scenario. Flee. Run away. The potential for temptation in this area today, in the age of the internet, is greater, not less, than in Proverbs. This isn't a service where I can go into the specifics with young children in, but let's just say that in an online world, the temptations are everywhere. There are opportunities all over the place to sin in this way. And Proverbs says, whether you are embracing temptation here or just subtly flirting with it, flee. Run away. Just don't take even the smallest step down that path. If you are tempted, read Proverbs 7. It's a great warning. And we all know we are humbly listening to God and walking on the path of life when in this situation we do just that, we flee. Remember, there are only two ways to live, only two paths. And as we saw last week, God sees, even if nobody else does. So listen to his words. For the simple are killed by their turning away. And the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Whether it's sin in this area of physical sexual temptation or any other, however obvious or subtle, God knows. He sees. And he calls you, in Proverbs, to listen to him. It's a stark but loving warning. Don't be complacent. Don't let yourself think it doesn't matter. The path of foolishness only leads in one direction, and that is to destruction. And if you find yourself anywhere near it and you are struggling to flee, cry out to God to help you. Tell someone, a good Christian friend who will pray for you, who will keep you accountable. Do whatever it takes to come back under God's wisdom. Because his is the only path where we will find true blessing and security. Under his counsel, there is eternal joy and safety. And wonderfully, in his deep wisdom, he offers not only counsel, but grace. Your story, our story, isn't over yet. It's not too late to turn back. God will welcome you with open arms the moment you do. God will welcome you, but turn now before it's too late. As we continue in Proverbs 16, we see another test whether we are walking in the path of wisdom. Choosing the path of wisdom continues in humility before God. Walking in God's wisdom also changes the way we view ourselves. So verse 2, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Now there's a lovely play on the word weigh here. In verse 2, we see that we so easily justify our sinful actions. So, well, it didn't harm anyone, did it? We might think. In our own eyes, our actions, motives and thoughts are always pure. Maybe you can think of an argument where you fell out with somebody recently, maybe a spouse or a close friend or family member. How might these moments be changed if we were to always filter our words and our thoughts through this humbling truth and ask God to help us to see the dark depths of our own heart and consider our own sin first, not just concentrate on the other person's sin? I am very slow to do this, and I need God's help with this. And so I've often tried to spend time meditating on those last couple of verses of Psalm 139 to help me to grow in this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. It's humbling, isn't it? God knows the true weight of sin, of our sin. And yet, he loves us and wants to transform us. These truths should massively humble us. God sees us as we are, and yet he loves us and shows us boundless grace. To view ourselves in the light of God's wisdom means we don't think too highly of ourselves. But neither do we despair, because we are loved beyond measure. And the one who loves us also has the power to transform us. This is what relationship with our Father looks like on the path of wisdom. It's a humble conversation with God that about the state of our hearts and a humble willingness to keep asking for his grace and his power to change us. Considering ourselves with humility will also affect the way we view our plans. Because choosing the path of wisdom means humbly trusting God with your plans. So the verse that follows, verse 3, says, commit your work to the Lord as your plans, and your plans will be established. So as I said, there's a wonderful play on the word way here, verse 3. The word commit means to roll onto, to put your weight on. You know, like when you roll your luggage onto the weighing scales at the airport, it's always a tense moment in our house. Ruth has squeezed every last bit into the suitcase. I've sat on it, desperately trying to get the zip open. And as we place it on the weighing scales, we're just desperately hoping it doesn't exceed the weight limit on the scales. And we've had an embarrassing moment in the past where it did, but I won't go into those details. But Solomon says, commit. Put your weight and burden of your life and work on the Lord. It won't ever be too much. Your weight won't ever exceed what he can bear. As we humble ourselves to submit to God's rule, as we see ourselves truly and him truly, as we hand over our lives and plans to him, we find true freedom, true wisdom, true life. Life as it was meant to be lived. Statistics show that the number of people struggling with anxiety are hugely on the increase in our society at the moment. We live in the midst of a pandemic of anxiety. And it's no surprise, because most people are carrying the weight of their own lives when they were never meant to. The wisdom of Proverbs tells us to roll it all over on God. This is the heart of Proverbs' answer to anxiety. How do we do that? We simply listen, pray, and trust. Verse 20. Oh, sorry. Commit your... Here we are. Whoever gives thought to the word will discover good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. We meditate on his word, and we trust in his promises. And then we pray that he would help us to trust them some more. This is our memory verse, isn't it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. God loves to establish the plans that are his plans as we seek his wisdom and walk in his ways. He loves to establish his plans that are his plans in our lives, so we can commit them to him in confidence. And Derek Kidner wrote this: they will no less be our own for being his. It's just that they will be less burdensome and better made plans. Isn't that a great quote? Family plans, work plans, career plans, marriage plans, ministry plans, even our precious retirement plans. Roll them on the Lord. Place them in His hands and submit them to Him. In the knowledge that verse 9, the heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps. This is the humbling reality. Whether we choose to trust God or not, it will always be Him that's in control, not us. And Proverbs 19, verse 21 says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. And if we know God, when we know Him intimately, we will know this is a good thing. Because God's purposes for us as His children are good, far better than ours. And not every bright idea we have is God's idea. Not every one of our dreams will be fulfilled, but the purposes of God will be. And His purpose is ultimately to make us into the likeness of Jesus, to exalt His Son as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Sometimes we hear that and maybe we think, that sounds fine, but if I can just make sure I get this, this, and this in place, if I can just make sure that I'm really happy first. And often anxiety stems from feeling we have to micromanage life in order to get what we want from it. We live in fear of what might happen if we didn't have the thing that we think we really need. Whether it's money, a relationship, enough rest and leisure time, whatever it is. But our loving Heavenly Father really is good. His promise to make our path straight is a promise to bless and protect and guide us in a way that nothing else and no one else can. Remember Proverbs 21 from last week, 30 to 31. Notice in this, we aren't passive. We prepare the horse for battle. We listen. We pray. We plan and we act. But most importantly, we trust that whatever happens, He will make our path head straight towards Him, the one who has the ultimate victory. And so anything He does withhold from us, anything He doesn't give us that we wanted, will only ever be to give us something better. Something that keeps us walking the straight path of wisdom into eternity with Him. And lastly, the path of true wisdom changes the way we view our gifts. Choosing the path of wisdom means humbly boasting in God, not yourself. As a family, we've really enjoyed watching the Olympics over the last few weeks. We've regularly checked the medals table to see how Team GB are doing. I think this morning they were in fourth position, holding on. I think we might make it. Not so much enjoyed some of the events like Equestrian, stuff like that. Not really my bag. But mostly we've really enjoyed it. And I've often enjoyed watching those sort of post-match, post-event interviews. They can often be really interesting, can't they? Often you can predict what they're going to say, but sometimes they catch you by surprise. When I was watching one the other day, someone had posted it, and it was going kind of the usual direction. But then all of a sudden there was an interesting twist. This is Daniel Jervis, a swimmer for Team GB. And as he started his interview, he began by asserting his Welshness. Yes, I'm British and part of Team G, but I'm a Welshman. I was kind of, not looking forward to where this was going as an Englishman. But he went on to talk about how he wanted to break records. And talked about how he's Welsh again. But then it took this interesting turn. He said, I want to thank my village of Resolven. I want to thank my church, Sardis Baptist Church. And then he said, everyone back home has been praying for me. I'm proud of a lot of things in life. But the thing I'm most proud of in my life is I'm a Christian. And God was with me tonight. And I'm just really grateful to be representing Him. What a wonderful testimony on live TV. And what an example to us all. Our gifts and our talents are a wonderful gift from God, and we should rejoice in them. But those on the path of wisdom do this with humility, knowing that they came from God and are to be used for His glory. Too often, though, the way we speak about ourselves reveals pride, not humility. I am very guilty of this. The way we seek to draw attention to our gifts, to make sure people know how great we are. It's easy to do this subtly. We sometimes think we get away with it, don't we? Just dropping in a few little details. But this is not what it looks like to walk the path of wisdom. In Proverbs 25:27, a proud, selfish, boastful attitude is compared to greed. It's not good to eat much honey, nor is it glorious to seek one's own glory. Satisfying greed feels good at the time, doesn't it? That McDonald's feels good at the time, but everyone knows it's rarely healthy. What you crave isn't always good for you. And in the same way, we can crave good opinion. We want praise and acknowledgement, but it won't actually be good for us quite often. In fact, we live in a culture that revolves around a desire for fame, don't we? Which is ironic when you look at what happens to those who find it. Few seem to get through unscarred. Just as eating too much honey won't be good for you, neither will finding glory. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall, verse 18. Instead of boasting, those on the path of wisdom instead choose to point all the praise towards the only one who deserves it, God Himself. Because as Emily Freeman writes, our souls were not made for fame. Our souls were made for the famous one. Or as Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Because ultimately, Jesus is the only man who ever lived who managed to walk the path of wisdom perfectly. The only one who was truly deserving of glory, yet who laid it all aside in order to save fools. And wonderfully, in His grace, He now lives in us by His Spirit. And so anything good in us comes from Him. The call to walk the path of wisdom is a call to walk in step with the Spirit, allowing Him to work in us and to rule our hearts according to His word. Galatians 5, verse 16, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Let's ask God, by His Spirit, to apply these truths to our hearts and to help us to walk in the path of wisdom with Jesus. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank You that You are a loving Father. We thank You that You give us wise counsel. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You this morning for the reminder that the path of life, the path of righteousness, the path of wisdom begins with humility and continues with humility as we seek to live for You by Your grace, as Your Spirit works in us. Lord, help us not to be those who are boastful in ourselves, but who always boast in You, because in You alone is glory. Lord, help us to live lives that honour You and glorify You alone. Lord, we need Your help. We ask that You would continue to reveal our hearts to us and lead us in Your ways everlasting. In Jesus' name, amen.